Hi everyone, I'm Daniel Saunders, CFO at B3, and you're listening to our podcast about B3's financial results for the first quarter of 2020.
Hi everyone, I'm Marcela Bretas, B3's Investor Relations Director. In these challenging times, which require individuals and corporates to think about new ways to do business and handle daily activities, we have decided to innovate and deliver a more accessible and dynamic content. We hope this proves useful to you and helps you better understand B3's results and business model.
This content will be available on B3's Investor Relations website, and we hope you can share it by email and WhatsApp. So please help other people listen to it. We also ask you if you have any suggestions or queries to direct them to our email. It's ri@b3.com.br. Marcela's team is available for any of your questions. And I also wanted to just take a moment to thank our colleagues in the investor relations and communication teams who help us produce this content and all the other materials every quarter.
Great, Daniel. So now that we are done with the introductions, let's get down to business. Saunders, how would you define B3's results in the first quarter?
Well, in a nutshell, I would say that the first quarter was one of a kind. We could have obviously never anticipated a pandemic like COVID-19 with such an extensive and deep impact on our daily lives and our businesses. Unfortunately, we still don't have a lot of visibility on what lies ahead of us. But at B3 specifically, we have experienced unprecedented volatility in our markets. The increase in our trading volumes, which resulted from the uncertainties and high volatility, had a very significant impact and a positive one for B3's result, even when we saw a large drop in the value of financial assets. And again, I think that the expression one of a kind that summarizes the quarter is a proper one, because it's fairly certain that when we look ahead to the effects for the remaining of the year, we can say that the first quarter will not be repeated in the following quarters.
That's right, Daniel. And to illustrate what you just have said, I think we should look at the recent data for a number of trades in both the listed equity and derivatives markets. Between February and March, we're talking about an increase of more than 60% in the number of trades. In February, the daily average was about 6 million trades, and in March, this number reached 9 million, with a record on March 20, when it got to 11.9 million. So it's also worth mentioning that the growth in our investor base was very significant, especially among retail investors.
Yeah, and we also saw similar effects in the OTC market. It's very important to understand as a whole, both in listed and non-listed, that this market scenario had a very dramatic impact behind the scenes in the operational overload that we saw in the entire financial system. Fortunately, we can say that B3 passed this stress test with great results. Our technology systems, our trading platforms, the clearinghouse safeguard mechanisms, and also the settlement of transactions all proceeded exactly as they were supposed to.
Absolutely. And if I may, I would just like to take a moment to thank B3's team, which has made all the difference in these results. The operating resilience and the robustness of our systems, which are central values to our culture, and the way we operate on a daily basis were tested to the limit, and our team never failed us. So thank you very much, B3 team.
Yeah, and I'll also like to mention, I think, the work of our regulators, especially the Central Bank and the CVM, the Securities Commission in Brazil. They were very close to us and in very close communication during the most intense moments of this crisis. And I'm sure that the knowledge and the credibility that results from this exchange of information is perhaps one of the factors that allows us in Brazil to maintain a market with sound risk management and transparency. And this is the case both, you know, during exciting times as well as in stressful periods.
Right. Now, moving on to highlights of our operating performance, market volatility caused by the pandemic drove volumes up significantly. We saw a 72% growth in ADTV of cash equities, a 70% increase in the volume of stock indexes future contracts traded, and a 58% growth in ADV of listed derivatives. All those numbers are based on comparisons to the first quarter of 2019. In the OTC market, volume of new issues and outstanding balance of funding banking instruments were up 22 and 18% respectively, with our clients seeking liquidity to navigate this crisis. On the other hand, in the infrastructure for financing segment, we observed the initial negative impacts of the pandemic, with a 20% drop versus fourth quarter results in the number of new liens registered and a 16% reduction in the number of transactions in the contract system.
Yeah, this operational performance, which Marcela just described, reflected in our total revenues, and we saw growth of 39% in revenues compared with the first quarter of 2019. I just wanted to point out a few things that, differently from all the other revenue lines, our OTC revenues decreased in the quarter, despite the increase in volumes that we saw. This is explained by the change that we did in the pricing schedule at the beginning of the year. In this new pricing structure, B3 transferred part of the fees linked to volumes, mostly for bank funding instruments, to the monthly utilization fee. And this impacted positively the technology and access revenue line. Just as a reminder, the rationale behind this change was to stick to our commitment to sharing part of our operating leverage with our clients. Now, if you look at expenses, our adjusted expenses grew in the quarter 18%, reflecting the increase in our data processing and personnel expenses. The technology expense line was impacted by the growth in expenses connected to infrastructure upgrades and also the addition of the expenses of our new subsidiaries, BLK and Portal de Documentos. The inclusion of our subsidiaries also had an impact on personnel expenses, and these also grew because of annual salary adjustments and new hires. It's also worth noting that the Tesouro Direto incentive program, which was previously accounted for as a revenue reducer, is now accounted for as a revenue-linked expense, and this explains the change in our guidance for this line for the year, as we released in our material fact last night.
So these revenue and expense numbers outlined by Daniel led to strong cash flow generation in the quarter, with EBITDA reaching 1.6 billion reais, 62% higher than in the first quarter of 2019. Recurring net income grew 57% and totaled a little more than 1.15 billion reais. In terms of cash distributions to shareholders, we paid 293 million reais in interest on capital related to our first quarter results. And in May, we also paid 650 million reais in extraordinary dividends from our 2019 fiscal year.
Yeah, now this was the first quarter. If we want to look ahead for the remainder of 2020, I think it's worth making a couple of observations. First is that we are already seeing a market cap for the listed companies that is much lower than what we expected at the start of the year. We began this year in a world where the Ibovespa was at 120,000 points, and then it abruptly fell to near 80,000 points where it is right now. And that alone should impact our revenues for the coming quarters. Additionally, we also saw an interruption in the pipeline of public equity offerings. Although we see some signs in certain sectors that some deals might be coming back, unfortunately, it's most likely that we should not see a full recovery of this strong pipeline in the medium and short term. In regards to our listed companies, I just wanted to also note that in April, B3 announced certain measures to relax a few of our regulatory requirements for our listed companies. And this is just a small way that we are trying to make a little easier for our clients to navigate through this difficult moment.
Still, we face a lot of uncertainties about the speed and intensity of the recovery of the economic activity, both in Brazil and globally. The initial evidence suggests the impacts were really meaningful. When thinking about B3's performance in the coming quarters, it's important to keep in mind that our business results have a close correlation with the strength of the Brazilian companies and our country's overall economy. So to make matters more complex, it is the first time in our history that we're facing a high volatile market in a low interest rate environment. So it's even harder to predict how investors and issuers will behave.
As we move to end this conversation, I just wanted to mention two other fronts which have been important for the company during this period. First is our primary concern with our employees and their safety and health at this time. Currently, 90% of our staff is working remotely, with the critical task team divided into three groups, providing backup to one another. We've also invested a lot of time and effort in communicating frequently and transparently with our teams in order to align our activities and our expectations. And it's good to be able to report that B3 has not only been able to keep up its day-to-day regular operations, as I mentioned earlier, but also that we are continuing to move forward on our projects, on new product pipeline, on all the actions that move the company forward and build our future, as well as maintaining our management committee meetings and all of our interactions with clients.
Right. And in addition to looking internally and to our clients, B3 has also acted in supporting civil society to help contain the impacts of the pandemic, in particularly focusing on the most vulnerable part of the population. B3 and B3 Social, which is our social ventures arm, have directly donated resources to 9 public hospitals so they could buy equipment and invest in 60 new ICU beds. We, together with our employees, have donated more than 30,000 food baskets to low-income families. We have also financially aided a government-run education program called Comunitas. And we are working with Missão Belém, an NGO that operates specifically here in downtown São Paulo.
Yeah, as I mentioned previously, we are going through extremely challenging times, both for our society and for our business. This has required flexibility and skilled management abilities from everyone. And I just wanted to reinforce a message to all of our market participants, our clients, and also to our staff that B3 continues to be here as a partner that you can count on at all times, and especially at this difficult time that we're going through.
For sure. And thank you, Sonder. And thanks everyone that listened to the first edition of our podcast. I'd like to reiterate that B3's IR team remains available to you. All the information we shared here is also available on our website at ri.b3.com.br. There you can also find all the contacts necessary for queries, suggestions, criticism, and also to find out more information about B3. I'd also like to remind you that Friday morning we'll host our earnings call, and Rodrigo Nardoni and Cicero Vieira will join us to answer questions about IT and operations. Hope to see you there. Thank you very much, and until we meet again.